Welcome to the family, the Tom Bernard Podcast with
co-host Catherine Brandt
and Andy Brandt Bernard.
Ralph and Alex will be here, but we get, Ralph yes. and Alex, that was close. Ralph and Alex.
Yes, others to follow.
Yeah. They'll
but
get
we
here.
We do have Tim Lammers and Kristen Burt, right, today?
We do.
As far as I know.
Fantastic.
We'll take care of them. That'll be not a problem. Just let me know when Timmy's ready to go, and we'll get to him.
Life will be good.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases,
right,
and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us. You know,
and that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw, and Bryant.
Tommy, do you guys read a lot of poetry on the queue?
You mean like, there once was a man from Nantucket?
No, more like T.S. Eliot.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Dougie, what's wrong? You a little sad?
No, other than the weather, nothing's wrong. In fact, in the Walzer world, Coon Rapids and Burnsville finished number 1 and 2 in the state of Minnesota. J-Lo finally beat Dan Resch.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is it okay if I take all the credit?
Well, I'd expect nothing less. Actually, we've got great inventory of some great vehicles, and these short-term leases are perfect for people who can't get the brands that they want.
You told me about those. You can drive a new Nissan for as little as 18 months, and by then, the chips will be aplenty.
That's it exactly. We hope by then you'll be a Walzer Nissan convert.
For great deals from the Minnesota sales leaders, go to Burnsville or Coon Rapids Nissan.
Hey, this is Brian Zepp. Summer is finally here, and if you're like me, you've got some serious riding planned. Make sure you and your motorcycle are good to go with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, Harley, Indian, metric cruiser, or sport bike, you'll find what you need at Dennis Kirk. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets too. Order before 8 p.m., and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Follow Zepp's lead and head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
So Nancy Pelosi did end up going to Taiwan.
Yeah, now we're going to go to war.
Do they really think we will end up going to war over
I don't know. Apparently we just bombed Afghanistan or something. We just bombed something on Saturday.
Yeah, we killed one of the leaders, yeah.
Okay. So what I'm thinking has happened is Joe Biden went undercover. Or had COVID, right?
Right.
So, and everyone's saying that he's a feeble old man and he's getting COVID and stuff. So he had to come
out
being a warmonger. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good point. That is a really
because
good point.
It's interesting because I tried to find out if Taiwan is independent or not. Some people say it is. Some people say it isn't.
It depends on who
China
you ask.
Says it isn't. Mm-hmm. And we love China, right? So we're going to probably always side with them.
Yeah, well, apparently we love China. I don't know why we love China.
Because
but
they give us
do.
Cheap goods and services.
We sold all of our manufacturing to them, that's
and
why.
And we sold half of America to China, so that's why we love China so much. And they probably donate to political people. So it's just a very interesting situation going on in Washington right now. It's kind of, thank you.
Yeah.
And we exported all of our pollution to China.
Yeah, but I have a question
that's
for
true.
You. I'm glad you brought that up, because I brought this up earlier today. What is the difference between their pollution and our pollution? I don't get it.
They have fewer regulations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So in other words, it's worse.
Yes.
Their pollution is worse than ours, but that's what we're going to do because of the money. This is all about money, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's all about money. Everybody wants to buy the $3 T-shirt. Everybody, you know, the thing about it, why don't we make, you know, we spend all this money in Egypt. They're growing the cotton. Why didn't they throw a little love one and make a couple T-shirt shops there?
I know.
Yeah, I don't agree. Know. They can make the Giza Dreams MyPillow sheets out of the Egyptian cotton.
But yeah. Make them there.
You know what I love about this world right now?
And I'm not defending Tom Brady. He shouldn't have done what he did. But that inflate gate or deflate gate, I guess it was, he got suspended for 4 games because they're deflating the footballs. 4 games that is suspended him, right?
Right.
For messing with the football. This prick that's in Cleveland now, sexual assault charges against 24 women, and he got suspended for 6 games. Hmm. So you go from taking the air out of a football to sexually, not necessarily, but sexually harassing and some assaulting of 24 women gets you 2 more games of suspension.
And maybe damaging those women's lives, or men. I don't know what the story was.
Yeah, I don't either.
Deshaun Watson.
Damaging their lives forever.
Forever. And we don't care. We don't care about anything anymore but money.
That's right.
Disgusting.
Got to have those sports. Just got to have those sports. Entertainment. Got to have our entertainment.
I've come to despise sports.
I don't blame you.
I used to not care about them. It's like, whatever. Who cares? Now I actively hate them because of the way that they behave.
Well, they're disgusting. You should hate them. I would have to agree with you. And every year it's the same deal. Oh, the Vikings are going to be great. Yeah, the NFL just said they're going to win maybe 8 games. So that's how great they're going
to
be.
And the odds, it's in Las Vegas for the Twins to win the World Series, 2000-1.
Yeah, 2000-1, baby. That ain't going to happen either. But
apparently what he used to do is he would go into massage parlors and then take off the towel.
Right.
That was his thing.
Yeah, it was a very, very big deal. But didn't he also...
No, may not have been a big deal. Might have been a small deal.
Mm-hmm. He molested some of the women, though, they said.
Oh, well, that's...
Some of them say, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently he touched them or whatever.
I don't understand that about guys. How is it fun to totally dominate someone who can't fight back?
Well, were they rubbing tugs or like a legitimate...
I mean, they're complaining, so if they were, I imagine they wouldn't be complaining.
Well, I think even rubbing tugs have their standards of some kind.
How do you know the name of these places, rubbing tugs, honey? I'd like to know that.
That's my
favorite. I learned it on Twitter.
It's common knowledge.
Yeah, there you go.
You are a saint for living with this filth.
It's true.
I can't believe it sometimes. You're a saint for living with this.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't put up with it, and certainly, you know, I put my foot down at home. I've ironed everything, and after I've, you know, made dinner and everything, then I put my foot down.
Mm-hmm. I understand completely. There's no question about it. I want to ask you guys a question because I've been noticing, I've been keeping track for about the last 2 months.
Of?
What happens on Tuesdays to people, or what happens on Monday to people? Because on Tuesday, people are the crabbiest all week long on Tuesday. Why is that?
I think it's because they had the weekend and they stayed off of social media. And then the bots come out on Sunday night late.
Yeah, that's true.
The political bots come out and they start, I mean, every Monday it's like there's all kinds of people attacking Trump because I don't know why. They're still attacking Trump. They just are obsessed with the man.
Right.
Apparently they do think he's going to run again or something. So they're doing pre-campaigning against him. And all of the politicians, I mean, we find out that we've bombed somebody. We find out that we've got a problem with Taiwan now, and China's mad at us. And so it's like on Monday, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's all bad news.
It's all usually bad news. We never have good news, apparently. I mean, killing somebody that masterminded a massacre is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Why? I didn't even know that was part of the plan. Did anybody know that that was something we were trying to actively do?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just a situation where I've noticed on Tuesdays, people show up for work, they're crabby as hell. Mm-hmm. I literally had to go and say to some of my coworkers, cheer up, for Christ's sake.
It's the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah, pretty much. State of the world now, don't you think?
His name was Zawahiri, and apparently he was the most wanted terrorist in the whole world.
Not anymore.
So they drone-striked him.
They drone
$25 million dollar bounty.
Wow!
Someone should have told me. I'd go there.
25. Who puts the hit out on him?
I think. Let's see. It was the U.S. government.
Yeah, U.S. government bombed
Hard
the troops.
Hard to believe that one of his own guys wouldn't turn on him for that kind
I
of
I know for $25 million dollars, but
$25 million and safe haven in America.
Yeah. It is interesting.
Well, speaking of money, by the way, you guys will get a good laugh out of this, and I could track the story down, I suppose, but not necessary. People were asked if they had got, because this man who won the $1.3 billion lottery, after taxes, everything else, he's going to walk away with $474 million. And laughably, a third of the people responding to a questionnaire said, Oh, I wouldn't take the money. I would just give it to everybody else.
Oh, sure, you would.
Why?
What they're trying to do is get karma to give them the money.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but karma knows your motives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd keep a little, but I'd give most of it away. Yeah, sure, okay. You would.
I think I would give a lot of it away.
Well, a lot, but not most of it.
No, not most of it.
Take 15%. That's what the church wants. Take 15%, put it in an irrevocable trust, and then have your... all your relatives, you benefit from that, and they can,
yes,
here's your little taste.
Yes. Yeah. So they won't continually bother you for money. Just give them some, and that's it. Right. That's right. It.
Well, I mean, you're talking $74 million if you do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you still end up with $400 million, but you gave away $75 million. So how could they want more than that? Yeah. If you need more than $5 million to breathe, you got problem.
For
real.
$500 million, that's private plane money. That's private plane money.
Well, that's well beyond private. That's private island money.
Ooh.
You don't need a private plane then.
Exactly.
You think,
where are you going to go?
So well, Andy. That is exactly the way we should do it.
Well, you need two private islands and a jet to go. You need one in the north so you can go there in the summer.
Right.
One around the equator. You can go there in the winter.
And actually you need four because you need two in each area so you can put the family and other people on the other island.
So
you're
not bothering your privacy. You? Yeah.
There you go.
I'm flying to my northern island.
My northern islands. Well, that's what Epstein did.
I thought he just had the one.
Oh, I thought he had two islands. He was in New York. He was in Palm Beach.
Yep.
He had his own private island somewhere in the Caribbean or something, I guess it was. And then he had one more place. But oh, no, he had a place in London. He had like five places, I think.
Yep.
Wow. He had a lot of money and power.
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. Did you ever see a picture of him before he had all the plastic surgery?
Oh, no.
I didn't even know he had plastic surgery.
He looked exactly like Andre the Giant. And I'm not kidding you. Same hairstyle, same facial features. He looked like a small version of Andre the Giant. And then all of a sudden he starts looking at, all of a sudden he's this handsome devil.
Oh, Andre the Giant.
Oh, you can tell he had plastic surgery. Never mind.
Oh, really?
You
can tell that he had a little
work
done.
You can't tell now.
No. Once your head's caved in, you can't tell.
Well, I don't know. The skin draws back after you die. It's sure basically does. A facelift.
That's what it is.
Who are we talking about?
Jeffrey Epstein.
About his private island.
Yeah, we're talking about that, Alex, because people were polled, and like 35% of them said that if they won $474 million in a lottery, they'd just give it away. They wouldn't keep it.
Liars.
You get a good laugh out of that one, Alex?
It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous is what
give it all away.
Well, Mom said they were begging karma is what they were doing.
Well, everyone thinks that they're this benevolent hero of the world.
Yeah, they do. That's true.
Always, in hypothetical situations, of course, they'd always do the right thing. They'd always be altruistic. But then in reality, they're never altruistic. Makes you think.
It makes you think.
Their altruism underwhelms me.
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay, I need a little tip from you, Ralphie boy.
It's going to cost you.
You've got a new restaurant called Makanda.
Oh, geez.
Wakanda? You know anything about it?
Wakanda forever.
First off, they named it Makanda, and the country where, what's the name of the superhero? He comes from Wakanda.
Yes.
You know, so it's a little
Black Panther.
So it's a little bit of cultural appropriation. For I look, you know, as conservative as I can be, I saw that. That didn't make any. Makanda? It's just a stupid name.
What kind of restaurant?
It's supposed to be some restaurant, some Spanish theme, tapas esque restaurant, blah, 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 blah.
It echoes Daniel Del Prado's greatest hits.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, we went, and I ain't going back.
Oh, really? It's
looks
not very
like
good.
It's supposed to be like trendy Mexican food.
Yeah, and it's just bizarre.
It's got a hi-fi bar, so.
A hi-fi?
What is that?
Like. The old hi-fis, you know, you put a record on them.
Oh, they do? Really?
Yeah. They have vinyl albums and hi-fis, and it's like, you know.
Oh, I didn't hear
trying
any.
A little too hard
I didn't
to be trendy.
Any of that. I mean, some of the structural pieces were just, there's a little bench seat next to the bar. It's on the far side from the lake of the bar. And we sat down. That would be a nice little place. You just sit, have a drink, maybe have a little snack or some such thing. We sat there. And the footrest was so uncomfortable, we got up and moved.
Really?
It was just, it made no sense. It was ergonomically flawed.
Hmm.
So we left that. That was the first step. Then the drinks were bizarre. I mean, the drinks were like an ounce, maybe an ounce and a half or 2 ounces at most. It was a bizarre. It was a bizarre place.
Well, you might change your mind.
Why is that?
When you realize that DJ Bootsy Ballins is going to be there in 2 days.
DJ Bootsy Ballins?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, well, DJ Bootsy. I didn't see the DJ stage there.
Oh, DJ Truck Stash. That's in 5 days. So
what are you talking about?
This is a list of DJs coming to Maconda on their website.
Oh, so they play music while you're eating?
Yep.
No, thank you.
Probably outside.
I'm out.
Oh, but then they the other thing that I found very interesting about that restaurant, once again, it's an architectural piece. They have banquettes. Banquettes that hold maybe anywhere from 4 to 6 people. They took the banquettes, put them out on this beautiful, beautiful outdoor seating area that they have. Face it, and it's adjacent to the lake. They face those away from the lake.
What? Why?
No clue. No, I ain't going back. I ain't going back. You know, the guacamole was oversalted.
So, well, Lammers, like what's that. Your favorite DJ Bootsy Ballins track?
Yeah, what is?
That's right.
I have no idea. I came in during the lottery conversation. I'd give all $300 some million away.
No problem, wouldn't you?
I tell you what's altruistic. I got a bone to pick with I'm trying to figure out this whole gas thing. Can you help me figure out this whole gas price thing?
Sure.
How do stations determine what to set their price per gallon? Because
great question.
This is movie related, because I went to screen Bullet Train last night, and of course I'm out in the boondock, so it's quite a drive for me. And then in Medina, the price was $4.44. If you want me to, I can call out the franchise.
$4.44 a gallon.
Yeah, $4.44 for unleaded, basic unleaded.
Not great.
It may be as high as $4.69. Okay. Yikes. Then I get back on the way back. Buffalo's a good place to get gas. I got it for $3.41.
Wow.
Which is a whole $1.03 cheaper.
That's amazing.
A lot.
Okay. So what am I? Are stations, or you know, your convenience stores or whatever, are they gouging, or what the hell's going on? I mean, how could you have that big a full $1.03 disparity? Seems to be a lot.
Well, the minimum in Minnesota, and I think some other states, they set a minimum based on the at cost price. So selling something at cost means selling something for the same price you bought it for. So if they're, you know, if they're buying gas for $4 a gallon from the oil company, they can't sell it for less than $4 a gallon. However, they are allowed to sell it below cost for a total of 3 days every quarter as a promotion.
This particular place that I got, it's the best place all the time.
Well, it might only be the best place for 3 days, because that's the law.
So then I guess what you're telling me, Andy, is it's in all likelihood, let's just say for the sake of argument, they're selling it for cost.
Uh-huh.
They're selling it for $3.41 a gallon. That means these other places are making $1.03 per gallon, if not more.
Right. Yes, but there is no law that says you can't raise your price as much as you want.
But nobody will go there.
No one will go there if they have a choice.
Laws. The problem is these places are on freeways or highways.
Yeah,
right. That's where the demand
is. They're right there, and they're convenient to do it. Now, look, I know that some franchises are bigger than others, and you have overhead costs, et cetera, et cetera. But it just, I mean, generally, during this whole quote-unquote crisis, you know, you might get a disparity of, 20, 30, 40 cents. But this was ridiculous, seeing that it was a full $1.03 cheaper than it was other places. I thought, God, that seems there's something going on here.
Well, that was gouging. I'm pretty 440.
$4.44. If not higher.
If the market will bear that, it's not gouging. If the market will bear that, it's not gouging. It's supply and demand. If you need gas and you're on the freeway and you don't want to drive 2 or 3 miles off the freeway to get cheaper gas, that's what it is. It's not gouging. It's just they charge more. The way it is.
But there are anti-gouging laws. I mean, I know that in California, especially, where it's really outrageous, that if word is out that there's a quote-unquote shortage even though, you know, oil companies are taking in record profits right now, you know, then some gas stations may set it higher than they probably should.
You know,
they could get busted for that.
Dan Chesky's here from Dan's Southside Marine. It won't be long now until we start seeing boats on the water.
Warmer temps and open water are coming soon, Tom. We have inventory in stock now from Alumacraft, Premier, Avalon, and Manitou, with more arriving daily.
What's the secret to finding a boat you're looking for this year, Dan?
My recommendation is to shop now, pick a model, put your name on it. Our team of pros at Dan's Southside Marine will have the knowledge and experience to get the boat you want equipped the way you want it equipped.
What about financing options?
Right now, we are offering low-interest financing options up to 144 months with qualified credit. Ask for details when you visit the store.
Alumacraft fishing boats, Premier, Avalon, and Manitou pontoons, all powered by Suzuki outboards, are in stock now with new boats arriving daily. Dan's Southside Marine is located just 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington, or shop online at dansouthsidemarine.com.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Mike Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company, Bradley's partner.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with a lot of multi-generational, family-owned businesses.
Take Raymond Auto Body of St. Paul, for example. Four generations of the Slomkowski family having successfully run the business.
When they were ready to expand, we helped them acquire a new building, allowing them to service more vehicles in their state-of-the-art shop.
We've also helped them set up the next generation of owners, keeping the business and family for years to come.
Tom here. If you want a family business like me or any business, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. I know them and trust them with my banking. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers.
Sounds like we really won you over, Tommy.
Well, let's not get crazy, Brad. Seriously. Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Everybody wants to cut down on carbon dioxide. Everybody, the world's going to end. And I've said before that 20 years ago, the U.S. government, state governments should start increasing the gasoline tax so that the increase in price would help cut back on demand, cut back on pollution, and help conserve our natural resources. And then use that money for mass transit and protection in mass transit so that it's safe to use and people might consider using an alternate form rather than driving.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, Minneapolis has a really great mass transit system. It's just unsafe to use.
Yeah, you can't use it.
Frequently, but yeah. I wouldn't set foot on it now. There's no way in hell. And most people agree.
Yeah, they just didn't do that. And now they are missing out on the tax revenue that could have come from that. They have missed out on a very simple way to social engineer that, which many governments want to, particularly in the cities, yet they're spineless to do that, to do anything about the things they complain about the most.
Well, telling Melissa the other day, Minnesota had, a $9 billion surplus?
Mm-hmm.
And did they put it toward infrastructure? Did they put it toward renewable energy? Did they put it toward recycling? Any of the things that they say is going to destroy the world if we don't do? They didn't put $1 toward any of it. They bought votes with it. And that's Minnesota for you.
I agree.
How many hundreds of thousands of solar panels could they have built with that money?
And that sort of thing that you would think is a liberal kind of attitude.
But
as a centrist, I can see that.
If I was in charge, yeah, I would have absolutely built tons of solar panels and wind farms all across the state, made us less reliant on natural gas or oil for energy production, that sort of thing. But nope, they decided that wasn't worth doing.
A fusion plant here. I mean, whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, nuclear is obviously the best way to go, but no one wants a nuclear plant anywhere near them. They're all afraid.
Oh, they just had to fire one up in the East Coast.
Oh,
A coal one. They had to fire up a coal plant.
They're building coal power plants everywhere because they're cutting power plants everywhere else.
But isn't nuclear power actually cleaner than coal power?
Significantly.
So why?
Because
then?
America dropped the atomic bomb. America has this horrid fear of atomic bombs and atomic energy because they are the ones that drop it. They feel social responsibility, and they're trying to abrogate their responsibility or that feeling by not having nuclear power and saying it's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when I was a kid, people were still like talking about Three Mile Island. Nonstop. Yeah. Everyone was talking about Three Mile Island. If you had to guess how many people died in the Three Mile Island meltdown, you say?
None.
Yep. So you already know. Zero deaths.
Zero deaths.
But
they were talking about it for 20 years as if it was like something that turned half the country into a crater.
You know, with it. You know, and there have been problems, but those were engineering problems, engineering and actual not following protocols. Yeah. The whole thing in Russia, Chernobyl, was that they tried to start a nuclear reactor when they had shut it down too fast. They tried to start it too fast, and it ran. That's normal. It's expected in any nuclear reactor. And then in Fukushima, they put the reactor on the coast where the
hundreds of year old stone carvings in that area left by ancient Japanese people that said do not build below this point, and they built below that point.
There you go.
And that's when the reactor blew up.
So
God.
Yeah, I am so frustrated. The government, conservative and liberal, have done absolutely nothing for energy. Nothing. Zero. Haven't improved the grid. Nothing. Zero.
They made it so you can't produce more internal combustion engine cars.
Right.
That'll certainly fix it with no grid to support electric cars. Kind of like how California had to shut down their grid how many times in the past? Did. Just 1 year. They're buying energy from elsewhere because they all have electric cars, but they don't have the grid to support them.
To charge it, there you go.
Yep.
Who dropped the big nuke? Was that Truman?
I think so.
I think it was Harry Truman.
He took over, and he said, he heard the pros and cons, and says, it's like that candle, and boom.
Well, one thing about nukes is that the fuel in a nuclear reactor is not the same as what's in an atomic bomb.
Right.
Atomic bombs use plutonium, which you would not use in a nuclear reactor because it's very, very dangerous stuff. I think you have to bombard uranium with neutrons in order to make it into plutonium. Yeah. But
you can use it. It's just not used.
You can. Uranium. It would be like putting jet fuel in a car. Yeah, that kind of thing. You don't do it.
Yeah. So you make plutonium out of a breeder reactor.
And if you think uranium is hard to get, plutonium
is harder.
They can detect that from miles and miles away. They have radiation detectors in every city all over the place. And because of the gamma radiation that plutonium emits, you can detect it through walls, through anything. There's no thing that you can hold plutonium in and get away with it.
Well, I had some scan done with some nuclear. They gave me something, I don't know, for whatever it was. And they said, here's a card. If you go to the airport, they'll ask you for it. Because they'll still mediating this alpha radiation or gamma radiation a little bit, and they'll detect it. So, hey, here's your card. It says that you were injected with this stuff.
And X-ray is mostly beta radiation, right? I believe.
I don't remember the Greek letter that goes with it.
It's not quite as intense as the plutonium variety.
Yeah.
But, the idea of someone like smuggling plutonium out of a nuclear reactor to build an atomic bomb with doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's just there's an unfounded fear, like there's an unfounded fear of Zika virus and an unfounded fear.
Oh my gosh, Zika virus!
I remember that. Yeah,
I remember canceling a trip to Florida because I was pregnant and I was the island.
West Nile virus. We have an unfounded fear of that.
Bird flu.
Bird flu, pig flu, swine flu. We got all sorts of. We have an unfounded fear of all these things, and everybody they love the hysteria. That's a wrong word. They love this absolute fear and this absolute joy and wallowing in their fear of things. That's where people just wallow in that. Oh my God, what is
this? They love that.
Oh,
they love wallowing in fear.
Oh,
I know, I do.
I'm telling you, it's just kind of how that whole deal is. But
and speaking of wallowing in fear, Tim?
Tim, are you still there? Wallowing in fear.
I'm still here. I asked about gas prices. I love how this,
way to go, Tim.
Morphs into a much bigger concept.
No, maybe you touched a nerve.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
They start talking about gas prices. Everybody gets wild.
So, Timmy.
Yes, sir.
I got to ask you a question because I've gotten this. I talked to my friend Renee about this yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I was talking to him about Dope Sick, and he said, I had to stop watching it. He said it was just so upsetting. It made me so uncomfortable.
It's upsetting at the very beginning.
I know.
And it gets worse along the way.
It does.
It should be required reading for all students.
I agree.
Everywhere.
Honestly, episode 7 was so bad, I don't know if I can watch episode 8, which is the final episode, so I'm going to have to.
Well, you've got to think that they're going to finally get their comeuppance.
Oh, my God, that Sackler family is disgusting.
Yeah, but that being said,
I think if you read anything about it, you know what's going to happen, and you're not going to be happy about it.
I think there's more stuff that happened afterwards, because I remember when I remember following the story, not terribly closely, but sort of, and I remember at first the Sackler family was only fined like $300 million or something.
Yeah.
Something just paltry to these people. And afterwards, there have been a lot of things that have happened. I think there was just so much outrage that the courts just couldn't ignore it.
Well, I mean, but the big thing is jail time. Has there been any jail time?
They've had to give up the rights to OxyContin completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had to pay back. I think they're going to probably end up being bankrupt.
Are they?
So that would be a good thing.
You mean after they hide the money?
Well, what they do is they get these incredibly high-powered attorneys who stay just on the edge of the law, and they make deals with the government, and so they don't want that to come out in federal court, that there were dirty dealings within the government, within the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, nobody's going to go to jail because then the government's going to look bad, and that's their number one job is to not look bad.
It's hard to argue.
Well put. Well put.
Well, seriously.
And that's my business.
Yep.
To not look bad.
Exactly.
Now, Tim, there's a bit of good news, and Alex just got here, so I'll tell her, too. Elizabeth Johnson finally was cleared. I've been thinking about that my whole life. Elizabeth Johnson, I was hoping she'd be cleared of charges. Elizabeth Johnson, she was cleared just yesterday. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, you think it takes a long time to get people cleared in our court system? What do you guys think?
Yes.
Long time?
So I think Elizabeth Johnson was charged with something. No, not charged.
She was charged. She was cleared from the charges.
Cleared from the charges.
And you know what she was charged with?
No.
Mm-hmm.
329 years ago, she was charged with being a witch.
Okay. Good Lord. They're wasting time on that.
329 years to clear the woman.
But they're wasting court time on that.
They're wasting.
I have to confess, I didn't know who Elizabeth Johnson was.
No, how could
you? And me both.
But did they convict her at the same time they charged her?
I believe so. Yes.
And did they execute her, or was she banned, or what?
You know that they didn't burn any witches. They pretty much.
No, in America they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't burn witches here.
What?
People think they did.
I've seen many, many shows about burning witches in Salem.
I thought they threw them in a pond or something, and if they drowned and floated, that meant they were innocent.
If they floated, they were witches.
That's right.
I don't either. I've tried.
Oh, so we kill them to find out if they're a witch.
Remember what Monty Python did?
Are they?
If you weighed less than a duck, you were a witch.
I think the Mirror needs a new editor. I think every news site needs editor. But Elizabeth Johnson was apparently found guilty in Colonial Massachusetts in 1962.
Salem, yeah. 1962.
That's what they wrote.
1692.
I think that's what they meant.
Wow.
It was 1962.
Back in the 60s, when they were
Colonial Massachusetts, 60 years ago.
Just before the Beatles broke, she was found to be a witch.
Jeez.
That's exactly right. Did they really put 1962?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, because it was 1693, actually.
Well, they put between February 1962 and May 1963. So they did it twice in a row.
People just don't pay attention at all. Nobody ever completes their work anymore.
So why do we waste any judicial time on this?
I have no idea. It's so stupid.
I don't understand.
She's been dead for hundreds of years.
329. It's not that long.
I mean,
yeah. Why didn't they just do some sort of a sweeping thing where anybody anywhere that was accused of all these stupid ass things that they used to accuse people of is just done. They're all pardoned. Nobody did anything wrong, and that's the end of it. Why do case by case and clog up courts with this?
Because it lets them generate news headlines about how heroic and progressive they are.
Pontificate.
Exactly.
Well, and it's kind of like let's wave the hand over here while we do something with this hand.
I know, right? But they never
something else going on if they distract us with that.
They always have some reason to show how wonderful they are.
Yeah.
Also, do we know for a fact she wasn't a witch?
No, I was going to say.
She's the only one who had confessed in the trial. Well, all the others denied the charge.
Yeah, they probably pulled out her fingernails or something.
So what was that all about, really? Why did they, in Salem, Massachusetts, decide to kill women because, was there some...
Men and women.
Men and women were killed? I didn't know that.
Well, so there are men witches
too? Probably because anybody that spoke against whatever regime was running the show, they didn't like it.
So that's what it was?
Of course it is.
To make up some stuff. Plus they were Puritan society, so...
Got a little religion that might have floated in there as well, you know.
Well, people also think it might have been like a weaponized kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, I don't like this family over there, I'm going to say that I saw them drawing a pentagram in salt or whatever, and off they go.
Yeah, or you just go draw one on their house and go, oh, that wasn't there yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah, must be a witch.
No different from these days.
What's the difference between a witch and a Wiccan? Is that the same thing?
No. Wiccans are witches, but they don't worship the devil.
Oh, they don't.
They worship, I forget what her name is.
Nature. Wiccans are like nature.
Yeah, they're
more.
Yeah. Well, there's an Satanists. Earth goddess.
Yeah, Satanists are worship the devil.
For the love of God, people.
Oh, but witches back then, they used the devil's power for their own purposes.
Yeah, which now Wiccans don't do that.
Wiccans use the earth's power for their own purposes.
I have a question for you. Why would anyone worship the devil? What good can come of it?
Well, I mean, even in the Bible, it says that the devil can grant you power.
Yeah.
All about power and money again.
Exactly, yes.
It always has been about power and money.
Or just being weird. The one Satanist that I know is
they're always very
weird
people.
So
like sorcery, that kind of thing in the Bible, that comes from the devil. If you can cast magic, the devil's letting you, or a demon. If you summon a demon, they can grant you power, that sort of thing too.
Penn and Teller?
Both of them have their own personal demon. Teller, he had to trade his voice to the demon for the magic power.
He can't talk anymore.
Penn's a vocal atheist.
Yes, he sure is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so he says.
I dated a boy in high school or college or something, and he said, and I have been an avid meditator since like late high school, and he said that I should be careful with meditation because when you free your mind that much, you're allowing...
Evil's getting in?
Yeah, like the devil to come and... like. Get in your body and take over.
Oh, I totally believe that.
I was like, all right.
I bet you do.
Been nice to see you. Slowly backwards.
When I was in medical school, there was an individual named Ray Reed. Ray Reed was in medical school with me, and I visited with him and talked to him, and he would never look me in the eyes. And I thought to myself, man, that is so weird. And eventually I started talking to him a little bit more. Here's a Navajo, and you don't look at other people in the eyes because you will transfer evil spirits, and that's a belief system that they have.
Oh, the evil eye kind of thing?
Might be similar to that, but you don't look at other people in the eye. And once he told me that, I go, oh, well, that makes sense now.
Well, that's why I don't look at people in the eye, of course.
Well, aren't there a lot of cultures that won't let you take their photo kind of stuff because they think you capture their soul?
There's all sorts of things, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think they're wonderful beliefs, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know. But once I heard it, I go, okay, well, now it makes sense okay, good.
Yeah.
Although when I asked him what he did before he went to medical school, he looked me right in the eye and said, I was a spy.
Oh.
And I go, whoa, that freaked me out. And he was a spy.
Spy doctor.
Spy man.
Dr. Spy.
Unbelievable.
I always tell people they're spies.
Spies?
Just look right at them. You're a spy.
You're a spy.
I know you're a spy.
Do you think the world will ever settle down, Tim Lammers?
I do not think so, and I think it's getting more insane by the day.
What is the deal with this blonde, this Marilyn Monroe movie? Have you heard about this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and right now they're really not giving us a lot of details as to why it's rated NC-17.
Oh,
That's the big deal right now.
You don't see that very often.
No, not anymore.
It's rated NC-17, which generally theaters aren't going to play those.
No.
I mean, it's day, okay. Even though it's not those sorts of films, like as in pornographic, NC-17s are for adults only. So it's, you know, it's not like R where you have to be accompanied by an adult, you know, if you're 17 or under. So, you know, that's where the buzz is coming from right now. Whatever cuts they were asking, that the MPAA was asking, they're not going to make them. It could potentially be the first NC-17 film nominated for Oscars, right? There were X-rated films nominated for Oscars, like Midnight Cowboy, I believe, is an X-rated film.
It was, yeah.
It wasn't a pornographic film.
It's not a thing anymore, though.
No,
right?
It's not.
What I've heard, the rating is stemming from a brutal sexual assault scene. In which, you know, honest to God, I don't want to see that.
No.
You
know,
that sounds like shock kind of thing.
And, you know, look, Marilyn Monroe lived a very, very tragic life.
Yeah.
Right? And so you can only imagine that she is the victim in this case. And I just don't want to see that.
No.
I don't see rapey stuff.
But other than that, you know, is it what else could they have done to make it, to merit that rating?
Right.
Because right now, honestly, and I've said this before, if you watch a show like The Boys on Amazon Prime, all bets are off. I mean, I have never seen anything as violent or, you know, regarding sex-wise stuff on streaming ever. I mean, what all of a sudden, but again, that, you know what, that's a TV show.
Well, does the FCC even have jurisdiction over streaming?
No. Well, I mean, obviously they do. See, here's the thing. Netflix is releasing this, okay? So, for awards consideration, they need to release it in theaters for a short amount of time to qualify. What Netflix is going to do is what they always do.
Yeah.
They're going to rent theaters themselves. They're going to play it for a weekend in New York and Los Angeles, and that will qualify them, and then it's going to be on streaming. And this is all about awards for them, and that's why I would imagine they needed to get the film rated, because again, it's going to be playing in theaters. So I don't know, that's what the big controversy is now over the NC-17. But again, that the only details so far were about, you know, that the quote unquote brutal sexual assault that takes place in the film.
When's the Academy going to abandon this? 20th century requirement. You know, this is the 21st century. You know, they're closing theaters in droves. You know, really, it has to be in a theater.
Yeah,
it's a little pious, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's that society that needs to tell you what to do, what to think, how to feel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. I don't want little kids running into an R movie.
No.
You know,
no.
Look, I tried to keep my kids from seeing R movies as long as I possibly could. You know, I tried to be as responsible as I could as a parent to not expose them to that sort of stuff. So I think that, you know, the ratings are there for a reason, but there are also ways around things.
Yeah, well,
you know, it all people studios go for certain ratings because they're looking for certain audiences. So superhero movies are generally not rated R because they get younger audience members in there, but they can get to the point now where they're PG-13, and if they're PG-13, they're allowed 2 F-bombs, okay, in a non-sexual context. So there's some wiggle room in between those ratings that they tend to take advantage of. Now, at the same time, films that want that adult audience, that want to give the impression that they're hard-edged, are purposefully going to include all those F-bombs or whatever, maybe 3 only, just so they can qualify for that R rating.
Yeah.
You know, so it is kind of a game in a sort of way. The only sure thing is your G-rated movies.
Yeah. Well, just
you know, but even animated films, most of them, you know, your Disney types are PG now. So
Yeah, I don't know. I can't name the latest G-rated movie that that came out.
Been a while.
Like a big one, of course.
As far as G-rated live-action film, I can't even think of the last time that
happened. Let's see. Was Minions G?
Probably, I would guess.
I suppose that would make sense. Let's see.
You know, it's probably PG. They probably had some... Oh, really? See, because this appealed to adults, it's PG.
Okay.
G is, just not a thing anymore. I mean, unless it's literally made for, four-year-olds. But, a big movie coming out by Pixar or whatever, they're never going to be G ever again.
Minions probably got the PG because of action violence.
Yeah, probably.
Cartoon
Even though
mischief?
The Minions are using fart guns, they're still guns. Still
I love guns. The fart guns. I love those fart guns.
Yeah, so, we're going to find out soon enough what Marilyn is all about. Again, Netflix wants to rattle cages. They want the publicity because, their subscribership took another dive. And they're painting the sunny face on it by saying, hey, we only lost 900,000 instead of the 2 million that we thought we were going to lose. But Netflix needs all of the publicity, good, bad, or otherwise, that they can get right now just to keep them top of mind with streaming consumers, because there are just way too many options now. And they're the most expensive. And one of the things is, you mentioned, Catherine, you said something about pulling fingernails out, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because there's a scene like that in The Gray Man, which I must highly recommend. Not because of that scene. I cringed. I couldn't watch. But The Gray Man is a terrific movie on Netflix right now. And that cost the Netflix an original $220 million. How many of those can you do before you're passing that cost on to the consumer?
Oh, yeah.
So, those sorts of productions are coming into question now. And it comes on top of the fact that if you got 4K streaming from Netflix, you're paying over $20 a month now.
Yeah, you definitely are.
And when you add on Paramount Plus, when you add on HBO Max, which is $14.99, Disney Plus, Hulu, it adds up. It's back to the old days where we had all those different cable subscriptions.
Tommy, do you guys read a lot of poetry on the queue?
You mean like, there once was a man from Nantucket?
No, more like T.S. Eliot.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Dougie, what's wrong? You a little sad?
No, other than the weather, nothing's wrong. In fact, in the Walzer world, Coon Rapids and Burnsville finished number 1 and 2 in the state of Minnesota. J-Lo finally beat Dan Resch.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is it okay if I take all the credit?
Well, I'd expect nothing less. Actually, we've got great inventory of some great vehicles, and these short-term leases are perfect for people who can't get the brands that they want.
You told me about those. You can drive a new Nissan for as little as 18 months, and by then the chips will be aplenty.
That's it exactly. We hope by then you'll be a Walzer Nissan convert.
For great deals from the Minnesota sales leaders, go to Burnsville or Coon Rapids Nissan.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean. Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us.
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. Whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw, and Bryant.
Hey, this is Brian Zepp. Summer is finally here, and if you're like me, you've got some serious riding planned. Make sure you and your motorcycle are good to go with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, Harley, Indian, metric cruiser, or sport bike, you'll find what you need at Dennis Kirk. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Clothing and helmets, too. Order before 8 p.m., and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. Follow Zepp's lead and head to DennisKirk.com. They ship today.
I do have a question for everyone here, and I want to be very clear. I don't give a rat's ass about this kind of thing. If you're an actor, you can play whomever you wish. I don't care. But, you know, this whole situation about, oh, it's culturally inappropriate. They're playing a Spanish person, and they're not Spanish. They're Caucasian, and that's cultural appropriation. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. And, you know, you hear that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this woman who's playing Marilyn Monroe, her name is Armas. Okay.
Ana de Armas, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's got a Spanish accent, which I don't care. I personally, if she's a good actress, I don't care what kind of accent you got. I don't care that you're Cuban Spanish. It doesn't bother me. But if the shoe was on the other foot, there'd be nothing but bitching going on about this, right?
You know, it's going to get to the point now where in Bullet Train last night, for example, there were American actors that were doing British accents.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, you always have British actors doing American accents. How long before it gets to that point where, well, it has to be a British person?
I know.
It's it
British people are white, so no one cares.
Look, you're either an actor or you're not.
That's
either
right.
You can pull the role off or you can't. I don't care what your derivation or orientation is. Who cares?
But well, we went to a play in North Hollywood years ago, and it was a white woman who played King Lear.
King Lear,
Queen
Lear.
It was a buzz. I thought it was a great. I go, hey, all right, see what this is. But no, it was so a little graphic. She was a little sexually graphic in it, but it was
probably
really well
was
done.
A pushback on all those times where it was popular for men to play all the roles.
Oh, there we go.
Well, you mean 2,000 years ago?
Yes, we've got to worry about that stuff.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
we sure do.
They're still sensitive about the kabuki.
Yes. Yeah, there you go, exactly.
So, cost aside, the $220 for a gray man, don't let that bother. What do I care? Okay, I mean, again, it'll affect my subscription at some point, but as long as it's a great movie, and this is a great movie, Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, Billy Bob Thornton, Ana de Armas, and directed by the Russo brothers, who did the two Avengers films and two Captain America films.
Right.
It is a great movie. So put that one on your list. I loved it. And again, that was another one of those movies. It's a weird thing. They opened it in theaters for a week. I can't see it qualifying for anything apart from technical Oscars, but whatever. And then they moved it to streaming right away. So
well, about the rapey scene in the Marilyn Monroe one, if you have it on streaming, you can fast forward through it.
Yeah,
thank God for that. Nice. I just,
it works for me.
I don't want to see it. It's too disturbing.
It is. It's too disturbing.
So, yeah, that's maybe there's more to it, but God, I think, you know, remember Clerks, the first Kevin Smith movie?
Yep, I do.
That was in danger of being rated NC-17 back in the day because
Oh, really?
Of the language they used and the frank talk about sex. I don't know who determines these things. I mean, at what line do you say, oh, okay, we can go up to this point where, okay, the sex talk has gone over the line. I mean, what do you say to determine that it gets rated that? It must have been pretty bad.
Read the very, very specifics about their rating system online. They have like, oh, you can have so much, you know, fantasy violence or so much realistic violence. You can have this swear word so many times in this context, etc. It's all very, very codified.
Yeah. And why aren't we more sensitive about the violence in films? A rape scene, a graphic rape scene. Is that something we really should be showing, on our screen? Is a society, is that a healthy thing? Because there's some guys and some girls, they like that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and you start making it mainstream. I don't know. Be real careful.
Honestly, that's why I never watched Game of Thrones, and I understand you, you get either. A lot of that
too
sort
violent
of stuff
for
in
me.
There.
Yeah, we watched.
That's not entertainment.
We watched six seasons of The Walking Dead, and eventually, I was just like, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because every season they just they had to top themselves in the violence and
oh,
the,
they
you
did.
Know,
yeah,
how
sure.
awful everything was, and it was sure. just like this isn't fun anymore.
Did you, Andy? Did you quit when? It, season 7, they start out with a brutal murder of
yep,
two.
Yep, that's
of
when
the
we
court.
Quit.
That was it for me, too.
I looked at the ratings, actually, afterwards, because Melissa was like, oh, come on, it's, you know, it's probably going to get better. I looked at the ratings. There was, like, a 6 million person drop
Whoa.
On that episode.
Whoa.
Everyone, because everyone was like, this is just torture porn now.
So
I don't want to see
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Yep. Everyone dropped out, and the ratings never recovered. And the show's still going somehow, but barely anyone watches it.
I don't understand it. And that beginning, first episode, season 7, it is one of the most brutally violent scenes I've ever seen.
Yep.
And they only did it to appease the fans of the – it's not a – they call it a graphic novel. But
yeah,
it,
it's a comic.
It was – they wanted to match the visuals of mm-hmm. the graphic novel. And – graphic is the key word there because it is about as graphic as it can get. And I don't think I have ever quit a show cold turkey the way I did with Walking
No, me
Dead
either. Most of the time I just get bored and stop watching. But that, I was like, yeah, shut it off. We're done.
So I got to ask everybody on the show, what were you going to do tomorrow you won't be able to do because of what I'm about to tell you? So did you have some plans tomorrow you won't be
is
able
it
to
the
pull
rapture?
Off? Kinda.
Finally.
Kinda.
We've been waiting.
All these false starts.
Yeah.
Catherine, what you got planned for tomorrow that you won't be doing?
When I go up to heaven.
I'm happy heading up to heaven. Heading north.
You're all set? Okay.
I got nothing.
Here's why I'm asking this question. This is all across the news services in America today. The United Nations chief, that is Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the United Nations chief warned the world Monday that, and I quote, humanity is just one misunderstanding or one miscalculation away from nuclear annihilation.
They've been saying that for 40 years.
I know they
humanity.
Have. That's why I wanted to bring it up again. He thinks they're going to blow up the world in the next couple of days.
No, that's, I mean, even
well,
North Korea was like, you know, let's
right.
cool off is on it, the nukes.
Relax,
so.
Everybody.
Is it tied into this whole Pelosi is pissing off China
I
thing?
I think so, yeah.
Going to Taiwan?
I think that's what
relax.
It's all about.
Well,
yes.
Mutually assured destruction basically means that no one can nuke anyone else because they'll just get nuked by everyone else.
Nuke. Oh, once you set off the first nuke, we are done.
Yeah, that's and everyone
that is,
knows that.
That is
it's like,
true.
So why, there's no one who would willingly destroy the entire world out of spite.
Well, that's good
well,
to know.
Yeah, think about, know. But think about Putin, though, man.
He would never.
Dying he, like they
what,
say he
no,
is.
What he cares
What's
about is
him?
The power of Russia and his own personal power.
And
if
money.
You destroy the entire world, you have no more power because
yeah.
everyone is dead.
Well, maybe he's got an entire city bunker where he's got his select people that he wants to be yeah. around.
Well, but I mean, even then,
repopulate the universe
before it, oh, he would be dead before the world was habitable again. So there you go, no
I
more power.
Maybe he's got something evil plot.
Some evil plot,
Doctor
yeah,
Evil.
Now you're watching too many movies. Now.
Only safe place to go after nuclear Armageddon yeah. is another planet, because that fallout can last for centuries.
Centuries.
Unless
yeah.
you're
movies.
Wall-E.
Unless you're Wall-E, which, by the way, was one of the last G-rated. Disney films.
Did you ever talk about the Duke great. With Tim?
I did not talk about the Duke with Tim, no.
I Tim, have to you talk the Duke? About this on KQ. What is the Duke about? What?
It, oh, you haven't seen it?
No. What, is it a show or a movie?
It's
or
a movie, it's a movie with Helen Mirren and Jim Broadbent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, both. I love Helen Mirren. They're both terrific actors.
Really good.
Absolutely fabulous.
It's not the dude.
Nope, the
no,
Duke.
It's the Duke.
It's about a guy that steals a
He's
Goya
a
painting.
Dude. She's a oh. dude.
And it's he's a really great character.
He's
so 2020.
Funny. It came out in 2020?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that because it was just released on our on our service. I don't know what that was all about. But they were both terrific in it because all those two do is argue the entire movie.
Sounds very British.
She takes shots at him yeah. the entire movie. It's hilarious. Very, very funny. But
so they left out a lot of the stuff about the painting in the movie.
They did, yeah.
It's a true story-ish. A lot of it's true, but then there's a lot that they left out.
Right.
So in essence, a Goya painting was stolen, and then that's the only true part.
That's the only, that's the true part. And it was returned.
In 1961, the portrait of the Duke of Wellington was stolen.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was ever returned.
Yes, it was. It was bought back, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. It was bought back, yeah.
Oh, Dr. No also was about that. The James Bond movie.
Really?
Yep, the painting was on display in Dr. No's lair.
Yeah, remember at the end of the movie they were watching they were watching the movie and they saw the painting?
Yes.
Yeah, that was that movie.
Oh, that was that movie. That's right.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think you would love it, Tim.
Oh, interesting. Again, like I say, I love Helen Mirren, and talking before about cultural appropriation, there was some hubbub about it when it was announced, and you got to believe when it comes out, Helen Mirren playing Golda Meir and not being Jewish.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cultural appropriation, absolutely. Yeah,
there's already been a firestorm over it. So,
for heaven's sakes.
Here we go again. Again, it's just going to get to the point where let's just do documentaries then. I mean, if nobody can play anybody, let's just film real life because apparently so-and-so is, you know, you can only play what you are.
Well,
and nothing more.
How long have Jewish actors been portraying Christians and all other religions
Italians portraying Native Americans?
That's right. Or whites portraying Asians. I mean, this is the most bizarre thing in the world. We watched Cast a Long Shadow.
Yeah.
With Kirk Douglas, John Wayne, Frank Sinatra. And that was a story where Kirk Douglas really played a Jewish commander in the formation of Israel. And it was, you know, really well done. And
Kirk Douglas was Jewish, though.
I know, but at that time, he sort of came out as a Jew. You know, I don't know the people. I never realized he was Jewish. What do I care? You know,
exactly. Who cares?
I know.
Entertain me, for Christ's sakes.
I was a resident with a fellow named Jordan Gottlieb. He was Jewish. I never knew he was Jewish ever. I never knew he was Jewish until he called me and says, "How do I market my practice once I'm in practice?" I said, and he started talking about going to synagogue. I go, "You're Jewish?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, hang around the Jewish community, start going to synagogue. You know, you'll be fine.
Right.
The community sticks together." So.
Yeah, so this appropriation thing, man, it's gone way too far. And
Who cares?
I agree.
Who cares?
Couldn't agree more.
And then, again, the problem is that enough people aren't standing up to it. For example, this isn't a cultural appropriation thing. It's, what do they call it? Ableism. That's the big argument. Apparently, Beyonce said some word in a new song of hers.
She said spastic, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which England is like a big deal.
She got pissed about that, now she's taking it out.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Beyonce.
They both did it.
Lizzo said spaz, she did like a public apology and stuff.
There was a video game from like 20... Oh, Mario Party in 2007. Used the word spastic and it got recalled in the UK.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like a really, really bad swear in the UK. But here...
It's a medical term.
It's...
Spasm. Spasticity, that's a medical term.
It is.
It is.
Well, but, I mean, so is retarded.
Yeah. No, it isn't. No. Well, they're
mental retardation.
Yeah. You can call someone mentally retarded, you can either be a doctor or you can be insulting them. It's, you know, kind of that kind of thing. But, I don't know, for some reason, you know, there's words over there that are unforgivable over here and vice versa. That's just, you know, how the world works, I suppose.
You want to talk unforgivable. The movie Black Like Me, where a true story, a white guy, darkened his skin to just see what it was like to be black in America. The biggest problem with that was the white guy they chose to play the black man, James Whitmore. He's like the whitest guy ever born.
Well, I mean, his last name is Whitmore.
Whitmore, so, yes. You know, he was going around, "Yeah, let me talk to you guys about it. How are you guys doing? Are the cops coming out?" I was like,
oh my God.
That's terrible.
I'm sure there are northern Minnesotan black people.
Of course, the all-time greatest one was Mickey Rooney playing the Japanese guy in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
God, yes.
That's why I was telling you that, and he was like...
I thought you were talking about Charlie Chan.
He was...
Sidney Toler.
Yeah, but that was much longer ago.
No, it was a Sidney Toler, and there was another guy that played Charlie Chan. I can't remember. Sidney Toler and somebody else.
Let's see here.
I don't know who it was. I have no clue.
Portrayed by many people.
Oh, really? By many?
And a lot of them were actually Asian.
Oh.
Japanese, so specifically.
A couple of honkies thrown in there.
There was a Spanish guy.
But Charlie Chan was
There was a
Chinese.
Swedish guy.
He was Chinese, yeah.
He was Chinese, yeah.
Well, you can't have a Japanese
Some
person.
Japanese people, a Swedish guy, a Spanish guy. So basically everyone except a Chinese guy played Charlie Chan. A British guy.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
There's a Jamaican Hollywood for man?
You. A Chinese man voiced him in radio plays.
Something.
In the radio
so,
plays.
So there you
okay.
go.
That's something.
They did overplay the accent like mad
well,
in those
of course
movies,
they
too. Oh, what
no,
downstairs?
To...
Da, 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 da. Like, come
yeah.
on.
Probably because they didn't know how to do the accent.
Well, no, of course they didn't.
Well, we have plenty of Chinese immigrants to yeah. play those parts.
Maybe
You'd
not
think.
At that time. I don't know.
Well, they were. Well, you know, they were. They came over to build the railroad.
There've been Chinese immigrants.
Yeah,
in this
but were they actors? Did they want to be actors?
Maybe
I don't
know,
think
and,
so.
And it's possible culturally that might be an unacceptable profession. For an individual. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. That's a whole...
Well, there's a lot of cultures that do not look kindly on actors.
Yeah, well, that's...
No, that is very
and
true. That,
and that's one of the reasons why when the Jewish immigrants came to New York, nobody wanted to be actors, no one wanted to be musicians, no one wanted to teach music, no one wanted to collect garbage or collect metal. And that's why those businesses were taken over by the Jewish immigrants, because that's the only work they could get. It was a little anti-Semitism, if you don't realize that.
Right.
It was a little anti-Semitism when they showed up here, just like there was against the Italians, against the Irish, especially the Irish. We don't want the Irish.
We don't want the Irish.
I knew that scene from Blazing Saddles mm-hmm. was going to come up at some point during this conversation.
The Irish being cops always confused me. Because it's
there
like,
were a lot of Irish cops in New York.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, how did they all get into that sort of business, whereas all the other immigrants became
maybe
organized criminals? It's interesting.
Well, so the Irish, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Irish had mobs, of course, but
right.
they also became cops, whereas
yes,
there weren't a whole
did.
Lot of Italian cops in the 20s.
Some, not a lot.
Not many.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well,
because
the
no
Irish
one would
started
want
off
them.
As the gangs of New York, remember?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Timmy, what else you got, Pally?
Not a lot. Again, I'm just, it's interesting how these films, the releases are changing now, like The Gray Man, which I think would have been a very successful theatrical film. And then you get another one like Bullet Train, which I'll review on the queue this week. It's got, another one of these deals where it's in theaters for a week and it goes to Netflix, but this one wasn't funded by Netflix. So that tells me something different.
Oh, yeah.
We have breaking entertainment news. Kristen joined us.
Breaking Kristen's news.
Yes.
Or something.
Well, so Bullet Train's not the same as Silver Streak?
No.
Okay. No. It takes a place on a bullet train in Japan.
Okay. A Shinkansen?
You know what? I got to tell, now that Kristen's with you, I want to tell everybody, the five people in studio here, and Tim and Kristen. You know the guy who won the $1.3 billion lottery ended up with $474 million after the win, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods just turned down $800 million in cash.
No, I don't really need it.
I can't. For what?
To play
he's already
in that.
A multimillionaire.
He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire. But apparently they wanted to play in that LIV thing over in Saudi Arabia. Offered him $800 million cash, and he said no.
Brad Blanks was there.
I love him.
Was he?
I love Tiger Woods. I
think that shows a lot of he understands the situation of
yep,
taking
I agree.
Money.
Well, God, I wouldn't go to Saudi Arabia.
From.
But he's been doing it for years. He has been playing there for years.
That is true. I mean, he's done a lot of things for money that, you know, you can't just all of a sudden say
so
he's a good person.
Yeah.
His altruism.
What is his net worth? Do you know?
Over $1 billion.
Yeah, he can afford to turn it down. Hey, I have to actually run. I have a repair guy here, so.
What, to repair your brain?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. So I'll talk with you. Have a great week, everybody.
All right, Timmy, thank you.
Kristen, have a good time with these guys the next half hour or so, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
I like it, Timmy. Tim Lammers, ladies and gentlemen, and now, of course, Kristen Burt to push us around. For the second.
Push
That's what
around.
My job is.
That's what That's her job, is to push me around. Tom, get out of my way. So what's going on, Chris? And what's the latest?
What's the latest? Well, you know, I was thinking, I watched a Netflix show, and I thought, well, Tom will hate this, but I think Alex and Catherine will like it, which is Uncoupled. It is by Darren Star, who did Sex in the City.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To me, it was what And Just Like That wanted to be. Darren Star did not go on to do And Just Like That. Only Michael Patrick King did. But I think what Darren Star created, he also does Emily in Paris. He did Younger. I just think, like, it's a fun, you'll recognize a lot of storylines from Sex in the City, but I think you guys will enjoy it.
Okay. Uncoupled, all right.
It's called Uncoupled, and it's on Netflix.
Virgin River
Uncoupled
came back.
On Netflix, it stars Neil Patrick Harris. It's about a gay couple who breaks up after 17 years together and his reemergence onto the dating scene being close to 50. And it's actually really hilarious.
Oh, I bet
I
it
love
is.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, he's very
He and his family are just the cutest.
Man,
I promise, you guys will definitely recognize storylines. You'll be like, oh, yeah, that kind of happened in, like, season 4. It doesn't matter. It's just kind of like a fun 8-episode. They're like 30 minutes or 28 minutes, somewhere right around there. It's fun. It's fluffy. It's enjoyable.
Good to know.
Yeah, but gay guys, yeah. A gay guy that's in his 50s going back to date, that's, man.
No, that's a tough thing.
I would think, man.
Gay guys in their 30s.
Yeah.
Really in the 30s, Jason, they can't get dates?
Oh, Jason said, you think it's bad for women? How about, you know, aging and how everybody just throws you away? He said in the gay community, it's a million times worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I have one of my dearest friends is a gay man, and he just turned 32 a couple weeks ago, and we went out to dinner with him, and I did a cheers, and I was like, happy birthday, baby, and his boyfriend was like, baby, you mean old man.
Oh, my God.
I know, and I was like, oh, my God, no. It's like, what? And he just kept on talking about himself, talking about how old he was, and I was just like, what? You're 32? Like, what? I know. It was weird.
Yeah, I had one acquaintance, and he would go to Palm Springs, all the older, 80 and 90, and 70-year-olds were there. You go down, you're 30. You're a young guy. You get plenty of dates.
Yeah, there you go. Depends on where. Yeah, just go to Palm
Springs. Not anymore. Palm Springs is a young person's town now.
I know. All the gay guys moved out of West Hollywood. They went to Palm Springs.
Oh, did they really?
Oh, yeah. Last time we drove through West Hollywood, it was all mixed couples. It was heterosexual couples. And I go, what happened to West Hollywood? It's bizarre. That was the most bizarre thing in the world.
Pioneer Town. If anyone's been to Pioneer Town in... just outside of Palm Springs, which is, you know, like this old, like, dusty desert town, has now become a hot spot, and people are buying a property and renovating it, and now all of a sudden the town can't handle all of the traffic, of course, because everyone moved there during the pandemic and then stayed there.
All guys?
No, families. Okay. I mean, real mixed crowd.
Yeah. Well, the pollution's heavy over there. I remember seeing it last time I drove out of the valley up there. I go, whoa, the Palm Springs is polluted now. You can just see the pollution, see the
really
smog. Oh yeah,
really,
yeah,
that's too bad.
It used to be clear.
You'd
be driving east. I would drive from Arizona into through Palm Springs, crystal clear. You could see the mountain, everything like that. And you drive down into the valley, and you look off in the distance in the freeway, and you just see the headlights coming towards you, just getting oranger and oranger, and they just disappear about 3 or 4 miles ahead of you. Now, when you come up out of the valley, you think you're going to see crystal clear. No, it's smog. It lays up there in that valley. Well, yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, well, look at Phoenix. My God.
That's even worse. That was worse when I was in school.
Pretty
there.
Much gross now. Yeah.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. I met the folks from Shift Real Estate last year on our way to Key West and loved their story. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees because they list for a flat fee of $5,000, and that includes photos, MLS listing, online marketing, and the assistance of a full-time realtor. Tell Shift about your home, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more. Shift Real Estate, the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com because life is expensive enough.
And we are back with Stretch's Picks.
You know, Tom, there's a lot of analysis that goes into these picks.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend betting, of course. I always recommend betting.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's winning this thing, the Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
I know, but it's a hell of an HVAC company. They do the most thorough system tune-up in the industry. Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre, Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
It's also the smartest time to call and schedule your furnace tune-up with Sabre. Get the most thorough tune-up in the industry from the people who keep my home comfortable.
Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
Tom here, and I'm excited to tell you about a well-being and weight loss program I personally know works. It's called Continuum Weight and Well-Being. So why Continuum? Because if you're like most of their clients, you've tried countless programs and the DIY version of weight loss. If you're back at square one and just not happy with your weight, health, and how you're feeling, great news! Continuum is doing it differently. There are no meal replacements or foods you're required to purchase. They don't just focus on weight loss. They're upfront with their pricing. And most importantly, Continuum is designed for long-term success. Schedule a free consultation and find out more today. Simply go to their website, ContinuumWeightWellbeing.com, or call them or text them at 952-491-6527. The Continuum team, Nancy, Danette, and Kelly, are looking forward to getting you healthier today.
You know, I just thought of someone, Catherine, that I really miss, and the kids never met him, obviously, but I really miss talking to Scott, my agent in New York.
Oh, he was hilarious.
What a piece of work. And I mean this as a high compliment. He was the gayest man I've ever met.
Yes.
He was. And I mean it as a compliment. He was so incredibly funny. I mean, I'd love to say a couple of things that he said to me, but I can't because they were so way over the top that people would get deeply offended. Let's say, I can't say the word itself, but I asked him, so Scott, do you ever watch sports? He goes, sports? And I'm not going to do an imitation of his voice because it's not necessary. But he goes, sports? What do you mean sports? I said, well, you know, I just went to a Yankees game, and I'm a big Twins and Viking fan. You follow sports? He goes, I only follow one sport. And it's the word that starts with a D, and it's women who are in love with other women. I liked watching D hockey.
Wow.
He called it D, only he used the whole word. You know, remember Dick Van Dyke? Remember him?
Yeah.
It's kind of that.
Oh, exactly.
What do you like? That's the only hockey. The only sports he has watched is hockey played by gay women. He was very funny.
It was a gay guy who used to deliver our laundry. And he would come in and he would say hello to all the women, but he would touch me on the shoulder. It really was the sweetest thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
it was
that.
A very gracious thing, and it was very nice. So he came in one time, and I was talking to him. But, you know, I told him I was out looking at fabric, and I was touching fabric and everything like that. And I could feel myself just becoming more and more gay, and I got to maybe like 49.5% gay, and I said, well, I got to get rid of some of this gayness. So I said, I got to watch some professional football.
Oh, there you go.
And he says, oh, professional football, all those men in the tight pants. Oh,
yeah,
that's,
for real.
That's one of the best things in the world. That's so homoerotic. And
we laughed like a sumbitch that whole time.
Of course.
It was back in the day when people could embrace one another. You're totally different, but you were great friends. God, I wish we could get back to that. Wasn't that great?
So who cared if he was gay?
Who cares?
He did a job. He did a wonderful job. He got you great work, made a great living for you and himself.
Oh, he did. Absolutely, he did.
I really am so done with this.
With
all this sort of stuff, worrying about something.
So what do you think, Kristen? Do you think that people will calm down with all? We were just talking about, you know, Marilyn on Netflix and the fact that the woman was that?
It's called Blonde.
Yeah, it's called Blonde. You know that, don't you, Kristen?
Well, Ana de Armas, yeah.
Yeah, but she's a Cuban-Spanish woman. Now, if we're reversed, somebody would be complaining, and it'd be white, by the way, it'd be white people complaining about cultural appropriation. That's what they'd go with. And I think that's ridiculous. If you're a great actor, I don't care if you're a man, you're a woman, you're Spanish, you're whatever the hell you are, if you're really good at it, you should get the job,
yep.
Correct?
Well, I would think so. And I think a lot of the complaints are coming in about her accent sliding in. And that, I will say,
yeah, that's,
that can slide me out of a film. And when I go to a movie and it's from New England and someone tries to do the Boston accent.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
It takes me out of a movie. And I think that that is where a lot of the issues are with Ana de Armas. And, you know, I still want to see it. It looks kind of intriguing to me and kind of a fresh take on Marilyn.
Right.
But I understand that if all of a sudden you start hearing a Spanish accent coming out of Marilyn Monroe, you're going to go, well, wait a minute.
Well, it's better than that voice. God, I hated her voice. When she did
yeah,
that.
The baby well, voice.
The baby voice was obnoxious.
She probably, well, that was supposed to be sex kitten stuff, right?
Oh, it was? Talking yeah. like a little girl? Boy,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
real sexy.
Yes. That's,
Jeez. I always got it's creepy.
It is, yeah.
Super creepy.
It's very gross.
And they say, you know, that hello, daddy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my gross. God. Oh, I just want to slap nasty. Women across the face that act like that.
I know.
No, did you ever listen to Dr. Drew when he used to do Loveline years
yes.
ago on
yep.
radio?
Yep.
He would talk about women who do that oftentimes have sexual abuse in their history.
Oh, that's even
when they were younger.
I mean, yeah. it makes
and
sense.
It's usually when they were affected by it, like it almost oh. like there. It's really sad, actually.
Yeah. And that's so the insinuation on the movie there. I guess there's this brutal kind of a scene, and God knows. I ain't gonna. It's,
don't need it.
No, wow. Fast forward. Hit that fast. As soon as that rape scene starts rolling.
No, I don't
you,
need
boom,
that either. I agree with you. I don't want to watch rape scenes. I couldn't agree more.
I'm gonna go watch Care Bears instead.
Care Bears that'd be good.
Care Bear stare.
That would work.
Because their voices aren't annoying at all.
Well, but they are babies, so it's like you
true.
Know. When a baby talks like a baby.
The worst one is that pony thing.
My Little Pony.
Oh,
My Little Pony.
The voices on My Little Pony.
Are you kidding
are...
me? Rainbow Dash is the best.
I'm Rainbow Dash.
Yeah, well, that's one of
she
them.
She talks like this.
The other ones.
I'm like, what are
you
doing?
Just...
Yeah.
Well, they all sound like Tara Strong because I'm pretty sure half of them are Tara Strong. Timmy from Fairly Odd Parents. That's Tara Strong.
Oh yeah.
She does, she's always done that like little boy little girl voice on those kind of like cartoons
yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Zany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, zany. I like it.
I love
it.
The word zany.
Mm-hmm. Zany's quite the word, no question about it. So one other thing I got to ask you, Kristen. I've been talking to a lot of people about this. As a matter of fact, my friend Renee and I were talking about it yesterday. He couldn't get past about the middle, so about four or five episodes of Dope Sick. He said it upset him way too much what that family did to America, how many people they killed just to make money. He couldn't even continue watching it. After the episode 7, I literally had a nightmare about the damn thing. Should I watch 8 or should I just run away?
You should finish it. It's if you're that far along, you should finish it. I understand why it's upsetting. And anyone who has known someone, whether it's a family or friend,
yep.
would be extremely angry. I'm angry and I don't have someone that, you know, has had an opioid addiction. But
right.
Manipulation that happens behind the scenes when it comes to pharmaceuticals and our healthcare industry, it's all kind of tied up in this big, messy situation.
Right.
And I think we all can relate on some level, you know, and I think even in the pandemic of like talking about like vaccines and not wanting vaccines and can we trust some of these companies that people are questioning it. And I get it, you know, I'm fully vaccinated, but I get why people question it at the same time, especially when you see something like this, because you see how it's manipulated and then sold to us.
Right.
And if you're just believing your doctor, like, okay, it's not addictive because that's what the doctors were told by the pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. You're like, great, I will take these and these will help my pain go away, because when you're in chronic pain, it's a miserable existence.
Mm-hmm. There was his character, Michael Keaton's character, wasn't he up to like 450 milligrams
yeah,
of OxyContin?
Said he was. Well, we knew a guy that had back pain and he took something like 8 Oxys a day.
Yeah, that's not good for
God.
You.
Oh, God.
Well, and it's interesting. That's what I thought that the series did very well in talking about the escalation, how they were saying, okay, this amount is not enough. So, you know, double
right,
it. Okay,
right.
double that.
Well, if
and
you
how-
take it at a long enough scale, you will have to increase it. It's not like, you know,
right.
some
yeah,
people
yeah,
need
yeah.
to. You will become desensitized.
Yeah.
You will need
opioid.
To increase
That's
it
what they
given
do.
Enough time.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating to watch it and just how the pharmaceutical companies were then telling the doctors, yeah, just, you know, double the dosage,
mm-hmm.
up the dosage, no problem. It's mm-hmm. still not addictive. Don't worry. And at the time, you know, people were buying what they were selling. And so it created a whole generation of addicts.
Well, if it hadn't been for that FDA special label, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. The FDA is absolutely culpable. There's
absolutely.
No question about it.
And but the physicians who believe that.
Yeah.
The time release, it was a special label from the FDA. Everybody knows how hard it is to get something through the FDA.
I don't care. If physicians were stupid enough to believe that, because it's a narcotic.
Right.
I heard that same pitch. It's a narcotic.
We've known about narcotics for 100 years.
It's addictive. It's a problem. It's going to be a problem. It's always a problem. That's why you cannot overprescribe narcotics. It's a group of physicians who either got, because at the time they may have gotten a little taste under the table to prescribe this stuff, mm-hmm. or the information that they got, or all this stuff. If they were that ethically corrupt or stupid, then that's what you get. That, you know, it's
also
not,
look where the pharmaceutical companies targeted releasing the narcotics first.
Yeah.
That's also a problem.
Yeah, but the point is, I'll also share with you, hydrocodone, not oxycodone, which is what OxyContin is in the time release form. Hydrocodone was a godsend for my dad because he had a horrible injury, had terrible back pain. He took that.
He may have taken it
for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then once he had back surgery to relieve his pain, he stopped it. And I've said mm-hmm. before, he went through narcotic withdrawal when he stopped
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, so
it really is crazy how little power we have over pain, because like NSAIDs are just like awful in general. You know, if you take too many of them,
short-term,
they cause so many problems.
Anything's fine.
Opiates
short-term.
Are addictive and will kill you if you take too many of them, and that's like basically it.
Yeah, that's
we have no good options.
Yeah, aspirin. Aspirin.
That'll
trash your stomach.
Yep, trash your stomach. It'll thin your blood if you take too much of it.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. The physicians have to carry some of that responsibility, because to hear something like that, I heard it and I go, well, that's wrong. I immediately said, that's wrong.
It's weird. They had a map of the United States and where the people were dying and stuff. And really, it was not in the upper Midwest for some strange reason. I don't know why.
Maybe the docs here were smart. They go, that's wrong.
But it was all over, you know, well, like what Kristen was saying, it started in mining towns where people had terrible accidents and had chronic pain, and it went up to Pennsylvania.
That's exactly where my dad got her hydrocodone. Yeah.
Maine, West Virginia, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. It was,
anywhere where people were doing hard manual labor for a long time and their bodies were just beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And like I said, there's nothing else you can do, really. Nerve block, but that's also not a great option.
Then how about not one doctor that was running a pain pill clinic? Not one went to jail for that.
Well, there's my point. If someone's this is so upsetting to me. If a physician was writing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chronic prescriptions for large numbers, somebody should have said, "Hey, Dr. Jim, what's going on here?"
Well, and the other thing is, it's not like this was some new drug that people didn't understand. You know, it's like, it's this brand new thing. How does it work? We don't know. People have been fighting wars over this stuff for 200 years at least. Opium dens in India and China, those were a thing hundreds of years ago. The exact same compounds. They're just in a different format here.
They're just narcotics.
Yeah, so we've known that they're addictive for centuries. We've known that they stop working. You need more. We've known that you can overdose on them. So, I mean, there's really no way to say, oh, they didn't know any better. They didn't know it would be addictive. We've known it's addictive.
Yeah. And I prescribe OxyContin all the time for patients. Patients have pain, yeah, give them a prescription for that. They might come back
the
for us.
F was that?
What was that?
I don't know.
Vibrating.
Was your
phone?
Phone?
On
my the fancy Pelosi invade China?
Crazy.
So, but that's a, you know, when someone comes back for a second a prescription, I always say, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
They come back for a third, they may get it, but then if anything beyond that, you're going to a pain clinic, mm-hmm. you're going to a narcotics recovery area,
you've got
a problem.
But when I got, when I had my surgery, they only gave me like 3 days worth.
Yeah.
They barely give
you
any mm-hmm. anymore because they're so worried about getting in trouble for overprescribing.
They should be.
But you know,
there's a good documentary, just if anyone's interested, and it's probably about 5 years old now, but called Dr. Feelgood. It's about Dr. William Horowitz, who was the doctor who was sentenced to 25 years for overprescribing opioids. And it's just really well done and kind of just explains, because, I mean, he leaned into, like, that he was justified in giving out the amount of opioids that he was.
God, what a world.
I don't know if I can watch any more of these. I'm like, obsessed with Dope Sick. I'm like,
Roku
always
has it now for free.
I'm always talking about it to anybody.
Calling all of them Pluto.
What about the doctor who prescribed the Diprovan for Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's went to prison, though, right? Yeah.
I think so.
He actually got in trouble.
Well.
Oh, but I mean, that's an anesthetic. That's like,
that's my point. You can't get it on the street.
Yeah, no, that's...
As opposed to Prince. Did he get his fentanyl? Was he getting it legally or illegally?
It was from a doctor, I think.
Oh, there you go.
Conrad Murray was a cardiologist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even an anesthesiologist. And he was allowing him to self-administer.
What?
That's why he died. He was self-administering propofol, you cannot do, you know.
No.
If you put the dial a little too high, you're knocked out, that's it, you're dead.
A cardiologist? What in the world was a cardiologist? Did Michael Jackson have a heart problem?
Probably why he went to
prison. No, he was a doctor who, you know, got a really nice salary to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He was a man. Yeah, I don't know how he had access to that kind of thing, though.
And I believe that he had several baby mamas, and he had a lot. He owed a lot in child support, if I remember correctly, and he had some financial issues. So this was like a job that like guaranteed him.
So there you go. There you go. Medical schools do nothing to screen the individuals to come in for ethics, how they think, and chemical dependency. They do nothing for that, and this is what you get as a bunch of physicians. Yep. There you go.
How does a cardiologist even get that, like, daily doses of propofol?
Not a clue.
Even an anesthesiologist, even the head of a hospital, if they're checking out propofol every day, someone's going to investigate them.
Looking? No, but you can buy it. We buy it in our office all the time.
If you go to multiple sources and nobody's cross-checking the sources,
Exactly. I suppose. True. But I mean, like, every day, because he needed it to sleep every night, I'm pretty sure. He was on it.
Yeah.
No, he chose to use that.
Well, he
to
said
sleep.
He needed it. So he took it every night.
He chose
to. But I mean, like, you know, that's at least a one bag of propofol every day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how.
Well, Michael Jackson was an addict. He did go to drug rehab before his death, too. So
did he?
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, he did.
Propofol is a nice drug, though. It is a pleasant drug.
Every time I've woken up from propofol, I feel like crap.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
But a lot of people, they wake up and they're feeling, they got a smile on their face because they go to a nice island someplace and they are relaxed.
Is that what you get when you're in general anesthesia?
Generally, they start the anesthetic with propofol down.
Oh, yeah. I had a procedure done and I couldn't stop giggling.
There you go.
Huh.
I wake up feeling.
I felt like I had a couple margaritas. I couldn't stop giggling. I was like,
where's that video?
Oh my gosh, what is going on? I'm like, I can't stop giggling. I can't. There's nothing funny right now. And I mean, the doctor and the nurse is probably like, what the heck is wrong with her?
Kristen had to be tied.
Oh,
to
I'm
the
sure
table.
They've seen that many times.
Yeah. I'm sure they have, but I'm like, everything is funny right now.
I wake up feeling like I haven't slept in 3 weeks. I want to do is sleep more because I'm just so tired and exhausted.
Yeah, it's like that OxyContin stuff. They gave it to me after my knee surgery, and I could feel the pain, but I didn't care. And I felt like
basically
I was floating above my body, like watching reality, and I felt horrible.
You sure they didn't give you ketamine? Jeez.
No, I felt horrible. I took two of them because they were like, stay ahead of the pain.
Yeah.
And I didn't take the rest of it. I don't like it at all.
A lot of people react very badly to it.
Yeah.
And if I have react badly to it, I have that reaction.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
But
it all works
it's a great series, though. I mean, as much as it's disturbing and upsetting, and you end up hating the government and the system even more than you already do, you should watch it.
No, you're right. All right, Kristen, we only got about 5 minutes left, so I have to ask you, because I just don't get it, I don't understand it, and I never will understand it. Has Jordan Peele ever come close to making a good movie? His movies are terrible.
Yeah. No, they're not. You didn't. You didn't like Get Out. His first.
He didn't
one.
See Get Out.
Actually, I didn't see Get Out. I saw the second one. I thought
gosh.
It was horrendous.
I thought Get Out was good.
Tom, you are not allowed to make a statement until you come on back and watch Get Out, and then we will discuss it.
Well,
how
about the second one, Us? That was horrible.
I enjoyed Us.
It was terrible.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, open the door and you're standing there looking at yourself and you go, okay, and just close the door? What the hell is that?
Get the shotgun.
Well, they're going to kill you.
But I'm just saying, do something about it. You'll just wait till they come in.
Well, what am I going to do?
Call me. I'll take care of
you. Get your knife.
You're going to fly, so I have to wait for you.
Call the police.
Your flight's not delayed.
Yeah, call the police. Hey, I'm outside scaring myself. Come over here. I don't know, all that stuff.
Call somebody, anybody.
But Get Out is fantastic.
I just, you know, all these, what was it, that movie again where the woman had a love affair with a lizard man in the pool?
Oh, The Shape of Water?
Aqua. Yeah, The Shape of Water.
Oh. I was going to say Aquaman.
I just look at that. Well, they got this secret creature that they discovered. They don't want the world to know, but they give a key to the cleaning woman.
I know.
It's like, right. What?
I have found that every year it's more and more difficult to suspend my disbelief.
Oh,
when
no
I'm
doubt about it, Andy.
Well, then how do you, I mean, I saw whatever it was that you were
Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
And I name, I
just thought it was so stupid.
It was like, really stupid.
What person would be like, fish man? Yep.
Well, I mean, he could have
that's
like,
for me.
Toxic skin or something.
Romantic fantasy film. That is how it was definitely.
Romantic fantasy.
Yeah, but it's just like.
It's kind of like the original Star Trek where, you know, every alien Captain Kirk meets, he has to have sex with.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you know they don't have like some sort of acidic secretions or something?
Is it?
Like,
yeah,
you know.
Captain Kirk, he's got.
Or it's like.
Little,
he's got the tricorder.
He's got the tricorder. Could get rid of anything.
Or like fireflies. They mate and then chomp off the mate's
head.
Like, I don't know. You don't know.
You just say computer.
Shape of Water won Best Picture at the Oscars.
It
too.
Did.
And somehow.
It was just so weird.
That
terrible.
Besides, how do you know that the equipment works the same?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bizarre. That's true.
Fish don't really do that.
You know.
They do they do something very different.
I know.
How do fish mate?
The female lays the eggs on a rock, and then the male swims over and fertilizes them.
Yeah.
There's no intercourse involved.
Oh, so they don't, like, mate,
nope.
Really.
Well, are there any fish that have live?
Okay.
That have live births? There might be some.
There are some sharks that do, but no fish that I'm aware of.
No.
Well, there we go.
Yep. All right, Kristen, to close out, what do you got? Anything we should go see?
Well, I want everyone to go see Uncoupled. You have to go see Get Out, so you have to go back a few years.
Okay.
I'm gonna see,
circle back next week. And let me know what you think. Let me know if mine changed even just a fraction.
No, if you come back next Tuesday and I'm not here, it's your fault. It means I hated the movie. I couldn't even face you.
Oh, Officer Dave says this is exactly why I can't watch cop shows.
Really?
He can't suspend his disbelief because he's a cop.
Well, I suppose that's true, yeah.
So that's like any dance movie or show or even reference. I'm like, that's not a pot au rais.
Oh, my gosh. You watch some of the dancing when the actors try and do it if they're not trained.
Horrendous.
It's really painful.
You're going to hurt yourself doing that. That's
indeed.
What Alex says. You're going to hurt yourself.
Kristen, we'll talk to you next Tuesday, Pally.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot. Kristen Burt, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. Welcome to the family, the Tom Bernard Podcast.